Good morning, all. Before I learnt to ski, I was invited by members of the mess that I happened to be living in at the time to join them for a day skiing in the Harz Mountains. And after an hour or two showing me the basics, you know, how to snowplow, etc., they left me to my own devices because obviously they wanted to go enjoy the skiing themselves. And the problem was that the baby slopes were so short that I had to keep taking off my skis and walking back up, which was actually exhausting. So I decided to take the lift to the top, which seemed a good idea at the time. However, from the top, rather like standing on a 10-meter diving board, the downhill slope looks absolutely terrifying, but there was no other way down. So very gingerly, I set off to negotiate a bend, but although I didn't know how to turn, I went crashing into a snowbank, burying one of the skis. But thankfully, no other skiers stopped to help me find it, because it was really dug far in. And then on the piste itself, I kept falling over and getting covered in snow. And to make things worse, having put my skis back on for the umpteenth time, and while I was adjusting my goggles, the skis suddenly started to move downhill with my ski poles still stuck in the snow behind me. Now, I probably wasn't going very fast, but to me it felt like I was tearing down the M6. I remember that as I shot past a bar, for example, somebody shouted, "Hey, your hat's blown off," as if I didn't know, you know. But at this stage, my only concern was survival, so I started to pray out loud, "Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, don't let me die." Of course, I had no idea how to stop, and I kept yelling at people to get out of the way. And eventually, I shot upwards on the other side of the valley, which slowed me down and brought me to a halt, and I fell over. I had scared the life out of myself. But as I lay there panting, I looked back up the slope, and I thought, that was fantastic. I must learn how to do it properly. Well, so when a beginner, as I was obviously on that day, starts down a steep slope, his fear of losing control causes him to lean back, you know, towards the safety of the hill. But that's precisely why he loses control and falls over. When I was leaning forward, as you're supposed to do, although clearly I was going a lot faster, I didn't fall over, because that's what you're supposed to do. Why am I telling you all this, you may well wonder. Well, it's an everyday example of a situation where we struggle to let go of our own beliefs and security in case we get into a situation that we can't cope with or control, even though we know for certain that what we're being told or asked to do by experts is necessary if we want to succeed. So you could say it's a prime example of obedience and trust, which of course is what today's scriptures are all about. In the Old Testament covenant that God made with the Israelites, it would have worked brilliantly if they had only remained true to it. It was written on tablets of stone, as you know, and these were external rules governing their behavior, which over the years they just paid lip service to. By the time Jesus came, it was still written on stone, as demonstrated by the way the people, and the scribes and Pharisees in particular, were unable to work out that Jesus was from God from the signs and the miracles that he gave. Instead, they saw his actions as sinful because he cured people on the Sabbath. So it was clear to God that this people were unreliable and unlikely to produce much fruit, like the seed, you know, that Jesus tells in that parable, which fell into thorny ground and was choked by the distractions of the world. So God decided that he would write his law on people's hearts, because the heart is where love comes from. Love which causes us to see beyond those externals to the reason, the real reason, the reason God loves us, why God wants us to do things his way. Jesus, of course, is the gold standard of that kind of love by his willingness to obey whatever the Father asked of him. And it was the same need for complete obedience which he stressed to those Greeks who asked to see him. Why did they want to see him? Was it to discuss philosophy with him, or to discover yet another kind of new teaching, perhaps? Because Greece, as you probably know at the time, led the world in philosophical discussion, as St. Paul found out when he visited the Areopagus in Athens. It says in a sideline there, "The Athenians care for nothing more than discussing new ideas." Well, philosophical discussions about Jesus are all very well, but eventually we're all challenged to obey God as he did, with all the courage and trust required to let go of fear. Like the grain of wheat, which has to die in order to yield a rich harvest, we too have to die, not literally here in our own country, as many of our fellow Christians are actually doing as we speak, in countries where persecution is still rife, but by a sort of dying to our own agenda. When we share in Christ's dying, we lay at his feet our ambitions and plans in a personal commitment to him, which allows him to be in charge of our lives. Such obedience may appear to thwart our desire to keep a tight grip on our own lives, but if we choose to follow Christ's expert instructions, it's more than likely that we will not end up going down the slippery slope out of control.